the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. I'm Rob Steele. He's Todd Vandenberg. Or we can switch that if you want to. I've heard we're interchangeable.
Yes.
Wanted to start off with one of the biggest stories in the world. It has to do with the coronavirus. And that's as far as we're going to get, because the rest of it just goes into the movie industry. It has actually struck the movie industry in that No Time to Die, the 25th installment of James Bond, has been pushed back to November because of the coronavirus. Now, here's what they did instead. They replaced No Time to Die in theaters with Trolls 2, because kids don't make money, parents do, so let the kids go to the theater, get the virus, and just die off. The parents will come back and make the money in November. That's all I can come up with. Who thought this was a good idea?
It's a good idea to push back No Time to Die, because it makes sense, because people are going to want to go out in public groups less and less, but it is also kind of weird to, oh, let's replace it with something else. It's like, okay, so it's what you're saying is like, so the audience for James Bond is more valuable than the audience for Trolls 2. That's really kind of strange.
Yeah.
Although, supposedly, they think possibly because they may have built up a partial immunity because they constantly get colds and all that other stuff, that's why kids are not being affected as much. So maybe they actually put 2 seconds of thought into it, but no, it's just because they put Trolls 2 in instead.
I think it's because they already know that Trolls 2 is not going to make anywhere near the amount of audience
Bingo. That
any Bond movie would make.
Yeah.
But, and technically, story number 2 is not coronavirus related, but it could be. Woo. You never know, because one of the symptoms is, you get a high fever. High fever makes you, kind of wobbly a little bit, makes you lose your balance, which goes right into Oprah Winfrey.
Didn't I'm following.
See this because
I did not
I'm sorry
see
this was one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen. Was she doing like a TED talk? Is that what that was?
I don't know.
Talking with a bunch of people about balance of all things when for no particular reason she falls over. The video is on CNN if you want to watch it.
Okay.
Just everyone in their life needs balance. Ka-thunk. I mean, that's almost exactly how it happened. It was.
So she was discussing, she was giving a TED talk on balance and irony at the same time.
I guess.
Like,
I don't mean to tease Oprah. I'm going to fall over later today. I know I am, just because I brought this up. It just amused me, so I'm passing it on.
Because of the circumstance. Like the CDC official who was stressing the importance of not touching your face and then promptly licked her finger to pull up the piece of paper she had on as she's talking about ways not to spread. It's like, good job.
Thanks for listening to yourself. Yes, well done.
She didn't touch her face, but, it's like, okay, that's really sanitary.
Her face touched her, kind of. Weirdly.
Who handled that paper? And who's going to handle that paper after you? Well, now, nobody. But, Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe it was a tab of acid. That's what it was. That's why she...
Ooh, yeah.
That just kind of leads into my next story, actually. I was trying to figure out how to segue from this...
Of course it does.
...into something about Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's just a thing. It happened. Okay, so Snoop Dogg is planning on producing a TV series... No, I'm sorry. It's a movie series based on 4 books. That's loosely based on Sherlock Holmes. Only this time, you ready? You ready? Here's the twist.
I'm ready.
He's black.
You
can tell from the stunned silence.
I was not aware that there is a series of books about a black Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, and?
But, okay, that's cool.
Well, I mean, okay, Elementary, right?
Yes.
The TV series that just ended that I thought was really good.
Yes.
Watson went from being, oh, pip, pip, cheerio, look at me with my large mustache and knife. I'm old British man, and turned that into Lucy Liu.
Right. Yep.
Which is about as different as you can get. So why can't Sherlock be black? I've never cared what color.
Yeah. No reason.
As long as the story works,
It's interesting. It's interesting that Snoop Dogg is producing this. I'm curious as to the tone, and you know, is this going to be played straight? Is this going to be comic? Just because it's Snoop Dogg.
Well, there's a series of books that I'll admit I have not read,
and very interested as to who the lead would be, because that will tell us a lot.
Last I heard, casting had not been done.
Because if Kevin Hart, for instance, is playing Holmes or Watson, I think we know what the tone would be.
Yeah.
Probably. As opposed to, I don't know, not Michael B. Jordan. He's kind of young. Of course, it could be a young version. But, and there's always the go-to for serious black actors. Denzel Washington. He would be a lovely Sherlock Holmes.
I think that would work, actually.
As would Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne and Samuel L. Jackson. And then that reporter out in San Diego can not figure out which one is Holmes and Watson. That would be fun. God, I feel bad for that guy.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's one of the all-time great viral moments. Anyway, yes, we look forward to your production of Sherlock Holmes, Mr. Snoop Dogg. That actually sounds very cool.
I think it'll work.
I hope it's not played for laughs. And again, the only reason I'm thinking that is because it's Snoop Dogg and he does more comic aspects sometimes. But I would rather see, you know, a more serious take on it. That'd be very, very cool. I like that idea.
Now, you mentioned casting, and there was a big casting news thing that was announced twice this week for the same character. It was announced Henry Cavill will be playing Wolverine in the forthcoming Marvel movie, and no, he won't.
Right.
Later, it was announced that Daniel Radcliffe will be playing Wolverine in a forthcoming... I'm like, no. No, he won't. No one, as of this recording, has been confirmed to be playing Wolverine, although, and I do kind of like this rumor and understand where it came from, the character of Wolverine may be showing up in Captain Marvel 2. Because the bad guy they've announced for Captain Marvel 2, well, not necessarily the, but A, is Rogue, who started out as a bad guy. The first panel we ever see with Rogue in it, in a book, Avengers Annual number 10, page number 1, is Rogue kissing Captain Marvel, or Carol Danvers, actually, who at the time was Miss Marvel in the books, and permanently absorbing her memories and powers and everything. And then later she realizes that she cannot differentiate between herself and Captain Marvel and goes to see Professor Xavier to get herself fixed. Oh, look, there's Wolverine in the background. I see how that'll work. But yeah, no one's been cast as Wolverine yet.
No. And odds are it'll be someone that we're not really all that familiar with, because people weren't all that familiar with Mr. Hugh Jackman when he was cast either. So
no.
And it certainly could be. I mean, of the two, between Henry Cavill and trying to think of two less similar actors, Daniel Radcliffe and Henry Cavill, I really, really would much rather see Daniel Radcliffe.
I really would, actually.
I think he's not knocking Henry Cavill too much, but I think Radcliffe is a better actor, for one thing. And can we please, I mean, Hugh Jackman's great, but can we please have a Wolverine who is not 6'4" or 6 foot? Please? That would be kind of nice.
If we lost anybody on that, Wolverine is listed in the Marvel Universe Encyclopedia as being 5'4".
Right.
That's why they call him Runt.
Which is an important part of the character, which we've lost in the movies. And again, not saying anything against Hugh Jackman, because he's excellent in that role in every single incarnation. Even in the movies where the movies weren't good, he's excellent. But that lends itself to the character. It makes it, I mean, it's much more, it's a different dynamic when you've got this guy who's probably not going to find a 5'4" actor that we know of that's a big star. Not that that's necessary, but it's a different dynamic when he's standing next to Colossus, for instance. Yeah.
Who's supposed to be able to pick him up and throw him quite easily.
Which Colossus would be able to, but it's going to just have a different dynamic when they do that. So I really hope they do go for a stature challenged actor and not an acting challenged actor. which it's Marvel. They won't. They'll do the right thing, clearly. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited about Rogue being the villain. I think that's awesome.
I think it's going to work great.
Rogue was very much underused in the X-Men films compared to what they could have done with her.
Well, they didn't give her the opportunity to have the Captain Marvel powers. You know, they had to start her from scratch.
Right. So this will be cool.
So much for that. How's this for how cool would this have been news? Coming out of Star Trek this week, you remember the episode Yesterday's Enterprise? Mm. Next Generation Enterprise C comes through a wormhole.
I don't.
Really? That was actually a very good episode where Enterprise C came back from fighting a war with the Klingons, I think it was. No, I'm sorry. The Romulans, and screwed up everything in the future. So for one episode of Next Generation, there's no Worf on the bridge. The Enterprise is a warship. There's a big war between them and the Klingons. They have to send Enterprise C back in time. It's a very cool episode. If you have not seen it, I highly recommend it.
I will seek it out.
But the original ending to it had, who was it, writer Ronald D. Moore killed just about everyone on Enterprise D's bridge. There were scenes that were filmed, but Rick Berman, who was the executive producer, said, no, it's too dark. We'll just have one or two of them. Because you see, this isn't a spoiler, really. The episode is 30 years old. If you're like Todd and haven't seen it, that's your own damn fault at this point.
Exactly.
There is a scene where Riker gets blown up. He's lying dead on the bridge with most of his neck missing.
Hey, Steve.
It's kind of a graphic thing, but Ronald D. Moore said that he kind of wished they hadn't done that episode so they could have done it as the first Next Generation movie with, instead of Enterprise C coming through the wormhole, Enterprise A with Kirk, Spock, McCoy, et cetera, et cetera. And doing that same, doing the same storyline, basically, right, just with the original cast. That way we have a better transition than just, oh, look, Kirk fell into the Nexus, whatever the hell that is, which should be coming back around again. We'll see it in the Picard series in 5 years. I hope I'm kidding, actually. But I think that would have worked. That would have been very cool, I would have think.
It seems that they've kind of gone back and done one of the classic episodes and turned it into a classic Star Trek movie, so I have no idea why they couldn't do this again. I mean, Star Trek II, the best Star Trek movie, based on the space seed. So why on earth?
Yeah.
So what? Absolutely, well, I mean, they should make that.
It's a bit late to do it now, you know, but.
Well, it's a bit late to do it now since they decided to shortchange the Chrises and not pay them. Well, actually not pay them. It's not that they weren't going to pay them, it's where they're going to cut their salary. Yeah. Not sure how that works. Which that's one thing. When that story came out, it the general twist was like, oh, they're asking for more money. It's like, kind of, but they basically were asking not to take pay cuts. It was like, really? You're going to ask Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth to like take less money because you made poor decisions on other films? It's like, didn't make a lot of sense there.
Nope.
Anyway. Well,
speaking of things that don't make sense,
woo!
Thank you for the segue.
Yes, sir.
A poll came out this week of the most desired video game to be transferred into movie form.
And okay.
Some of these made sense. A lot of them don't. And I wanted to explain this a bit. Older video games makes sense. The top game that they wanted to see transferred from video game to movie.
Don't say Candy Crush.
Oh, no, it's not. It's actually Super Mario, only they would actually like it to be the video game this time instead of whatever the previous movie was, because that was not the video game.
It was not the video game. I like that movie, but it was not the video game.
It was a weird movie.
That's why I liked it.
And it had aspects of the game in it, but it was not the game. But old games, and I'm just going to use this as an example, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, all right? That game took me an hour and a half to finish right after I bought it. I was a bit disappointed, by the way. But an hour and a half, that's a movie. That's a movie length. Super Mario Brothers, you can finish that game in, what, I've seen people do it in, what's the YouTube challenge?
Those aren't people. Those are not people. Those are androids.
Those are,
but yes.
They're still finishing it in, what, 5 minutes or so?
Yeah, it's something insane doing the speed runs.
You know, you can turn that into a movie length thing. But current video games like that are on this list, Grand Theft Auto, that game takes weeks, if not longer, to finish.
Right.
Call of Duty, I don't think Call of Duty ever ends.
No.
Elder Scrolls can go on for months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and do you really want that crammed down to an hour and a half or 2 hour movie? I mean, that's why the movies that they're doing of current video games, Tomb Raider comes to mind. That's why they're not doing well, because you're cramming so much crap into so little a space. And I mean, most of the time, the video games end up having better acting and special effects than you're going to get to a film. You know, and if you want these to be films, sure, look at the cutscenes. They already are films.
Right.
You know, so some of the things on these lists make no sense. But two that were on the list, and I'm not sure how you would make this into movies, but hey, if they did Lego, Pong and Tetris are on this list. No clue. Pong, I can almost see in that, you know, Pong, the Pete Sampras story, I guess.
It's an update on Tron. I was going to say Tetris is
a movie.
I was going to say Tetris is a joke, and it's like, who knows? Who knows what they will do? And Angry Birds, I have not watched it, and I hopefully I never will, but reportedly it's a fun movie for the kids. And if he can turn that into a movie, boy, Tetris is really out there. Unless it's something really insane, like Pi, or, you know, just some really out there concept, and it's so far beyond the video game, which would kind of have to be. Yeah, I don't know about that. Darren Aronofsky, please do Tetris, because that's the first name that comes to mind. It might actually make it interesting, but I don't know how. Anyway, have fun with that one.
Yeah. I think that works, except...
Not this time.
Woo! Not this time, because I'm going from Tetris, which makes sense, to the new Batmobile.
That totally makes sense. And it's made of shapes.
Ah, okay. Made of shapes.
And they had to put it together, just like a little Tetris box. Had to fit perfectly.
The new The Batman movie coming out next year, so not at a theater near you anytime soon.
Right.
They revealed what the new Batmobile looks like. And from what we talked about in pre-pro, hi, Ted, you sounded like you liked it. To me, it looked like they painted the generally somewhat ironically black and just kind of stuck an engine on where the trunk should be.
Okay. I like it because it's very retro. It's a callback to even the TV show with Adam West. It's more of a car.
Instead of the tank. I like the fact that it is a car and not the tank.
It's to me, it's obviously a car that's been modified rather than something built from the ground up. And I love the bat tank, which is really what it is, the tumbler. But I think it fits because this is supposedly Batman Year 2, maybe, is what they're going for. And that makes perfect sense. It's a car that he or whoever is helping him has put together. And it's just more basically a car, which has been souped up, and just the lines look great. It looks like a supercar from muscle car. Well, I'm sure it's a supercar, you know, from Detroit 70s. And we don't know what time period. And I haven't seen anything about time period.
I haven't seen it
either. And obviously, this doesn't mean it's going to be set in the 70s or anything, although it'd be kind of interesting if it was. But it looks really good. It just gives me a good feeling for this film that they're going for something different which we know they are because this is supposed to be a detective story, which would be the first time we've really had a detective story in a Batman film. So,
which is great. That's
which is awesome because he is the world's greatest detective, at least on this side of the pond.
Except for Snoop Dogg, apparently.
Yeah, except for Snoop Dogg. So, you know, when the first came out, it's like, oh, they're doing a Batman film. It's going to be different, blah, blah, blah. And then the casting rumors are flying around. And I was always on board with Pattinson because he is an exceptional actor. And people who are doing the knee-jerk thing of Twilight is like, he didn't write it. Give him a break. Yeah. So he's very, very good. And he looks good in the bat suit, the little bit we've seen. But yeah, this just looks great. And they're being very, very smart about giving us these little
snippets.
Sometimes they kind of go overboard. And I like the fact that they really are. These are just little teasers because, like you said, we're over a year away.
Actually, my personal favorite Batmobile is from one of the least favorite incarnations, the animated series called The Batman, which happened actually after Batman, the animated series.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't like it. But for the first two seasons, the Batmobile itself was somewhere kind of a combination between a Koenigsegg and a Lamborghini, which was just awesome. And throw in a little bit of a light cycle from Tron. That was an awesome Batmobile. But we're not going to see that on a screen because I don't think Koenigsegg and Lamborghini get along all that well.
Yeah, sad.
What we are going to see on a screen soon, though, and this is still DC related, and I absolutely want this now.
Still segue, beautiful.
It's a new DC animated film coming out May 5th on streaming, 19th on Blu-ray. Justice League Dark, which means they're bringing in the Magic Group, Apocalypse War. Which is, if you've seen any of the DC animated movies, there has been kind of a recurring story, you know, an ongoing story, not recurring, ongoing story. Since I started with Justice League War, where they brought in Darkseid, who is the big bad of the DC universe. And they did a lot with him. They introduced the Justice League and they've used pretty much those characters throughout throughout their animated films, which has been excellent. And they did spin it off. They have done not just Justice League, but Justice League Dark, which is the magic branch of the Justice League. They've spun off the Bat Universe, which has brought in Nightwing, Batwoman, an assortment of Robins. And then the Teen Titans, even. In this movie, Justice League Dark, of which we only have a trailer, but damn it, I want this. They've already announced it's an R-rated movie. And the Titans are in it. Justice League is in it. Justice League Dark, the whole Bat family. This is the DC animated version of Endgame, as near as I can tell. And it looks it, it sounds it, and I want it now. So there.
But you can't have it now. When can you have it?
May 5th.
Woo!
So not that long from now, but still. And that kind of leads me into this week's review. For me, and apparently from you, which is weird, we did not coordinate this.
We did not.
Originally, I was going to review Little Women. But I found out that the new version does not star Estelle Getty and Linda Hunt, so I said, screw that. I'm going to watch Superman Red Sun. Two people understood that reference, and that's fine.
Anyway, yes, Red Sun.
Superman Red Sun, the most recent of the DC animated movies. And it's, like I said in just now, there was that continuity in the DC animated movies. This one is not part of that. I think it even says Elseworlds on the cover. If you don't know what Elseworlds is in DC, it's like Marvel's What If. And if you don't know what that means, basically it's, here's what would happen if things went like this. Superman Red Sun, for example, the storyline is, what if Kal-El's spaceship coming from Krypton does not crash in Kansas? It lands in Russia. And Superman becomes communist. Because that's, you know, it's Russia. Duh. And frankly, I read the books years ago because that came out quite, I've forgotten when that came out. Was that like back in the 80s?
I'm not sure if it was the 80s, but yeah, it was quite a while ago for sure.
I read it, and where we've seen since time began, all of Superman's truth, justice, and the American way is now communist. So Russian way, very much borscht and funny woolen hats and the Russian way, or whatever it would be. That's the difference between these two movies, really. Or two continuities, I suppose. And I spent a lot of this movie going, eh. It's not the worst DC animated movie. That still goes to the Batman Harley Quinn fiasco of a few years ago, which was very cringeworthy. This, it didn't have a bad story to it. Brainiac ends up being the bad guy, which you know is going to happen as soon as Brainiac shows up on the screen. Hello. That's not a spoiler. Lex Luthor is really not as bad a guy in this version because he doesn't grow up to have that problem with Superman because Luthor is in America. Superman is in Russia. But you spend a lot of this movie going, eh, and? Meh. Eh. All right, fine. Whatever. So if there is actually a DC movie, well, the animated series, that you want to just go, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it that much. This is it.
Hmm.
I mean, you can even make the argument, I want to see a train wreck. So that's when you get the Batman Harley Quinn thing, because that's a train wreck. It's so bad that you can occasionally just sit back and laugh at it. This, there's nothing there really to go, oh, they screwed that up. That was funny. It's just, it's there. It did nothing for me.
A couple things. Red Sun actually was published in 2003.
Really?
I know.
It feels older.
It does feel older. But it didn't come out until 2003. So shocking, because I thought 80s, maybe 90s. But
I was actually, as soon as I said 80 something, I went, no, it's got to be at least 90s. But 2003?
2003. Wow. Crazy. I'm still going to watch it because, yeah, I want to see how it is. Because
yeah, I mean, it's not bad. It's just not as exciting as some of the. I was more excited watching the trailer for Apocalypse War than I was watching the entirety of this movie.
Well, so, to be honest, it follows the comic because
it does.
That's kind of how I felt about the comic. The comic, well, that was interesting, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm glad I read The Dark Knight Returns. It's like, that's not this story at all. It's not that level.
No,
so that's a different thing. I'll also throw in that DC Comics, their animated universe has been a little hit or miss lately. Obviously, the Harley Quinn fiasco. Gotham by Gaslight didn't particularly, not that it was bad.
Been better.
Boom. Exactly. It just missed the mark, which is my own segue into a movie which did not miss the mark at all, which oddly enough, as Rob said, we did not go into pre-pro last week and discuss this. Thanks, Ted.
We didn't. We found out, 3 seconds before? All right, we're starting the show in 3, 2. What did you do this week? Wait, you did what? There we go.
Because I was going to review Dr. Sleep, the extended edition, the director's cut, which maybe I will at some point, but for now, I will just say, watch it. If you like Dr. Sleep, absolutely watch the director's cut. It makes the film quite a bit better, and I really like Dr. Sleep. This makes this a really good film. But what I'm talking about today is Justice League Gods and Monsters. Now, this has been out since 2005, so it's been around for a while.
You're kidding.
Yeah, 2000. Really? I'm 15, sorry, not 5. Missed a decade there. I was trapped by the Red Sun back in 2003. So yeah, 2015.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
2015 when Gods and Monsters came out. No, I thank you, because otherwise that would have been bad. Which I'll come to a correction later. So remind me, I need to make a correction about a previous statement in a previous show, in a previous incarnation. Justice League Gods and Monsters. This is also kind of like the Elseworlds kind of thing. This is based on, and it's a great concept, what if instead of Jor-El sending his child, it's Zod?
Kneel before.
Yes. So instead of Jor-El sending his son, and there's a setup where actually Zod implants his DNA, and it creates, so it's Zod's child who escaped Krypton, comes to Earth, et cetera, et cetera. So the reality is very, very different, because now you have, it's a really interesting take on the whole nurture versus nature kind of thing. It's like, okay, so you've got someone who's kind of like a maniac, and a brutal person, a person who was engineered to be a warrior.
Yep.
And in virtually every storyline of Superman, and they don't exactly spell it out, but it's clear that's the case in this version also. So what happens when this guy turns into Superman? And he lands in the U.S., so he doesn't land in Russia, although he does land on the border of the U.S. and apparently Mexico. You're not really sure. So he's raised by just poor, honest folk. And he knows Spanish, which makes sense because that's where he's raised. But he becomes Superman anyway. But it's a very much darker version of Superman. And he has his buddies in the Justice League, but it's just the triumvirate. It's Wonder Woman, who is different. She's not Diana. She's Becca. And she is actually from, speaking of Apocalypse, she is from that world. So she is from that entire universe there. So her character is very different. Batman, very different. It's not Bruce Wayne. He's some guy named Kirk, who has...
Well, it's Kirk Langstrom, wasn't it?
It is Kirk Langstrom.
Man-Bat.
Yep. So he has very different powers. Like he's a vampire, which you find out right away. Yeah. So not exactly a spoiler. So you still have the triumvirate, but they're very different. So they're very violent, as in they go after the bad guys and they kill the bad guys. All three of them kill the bad guys. They kind of get into killing the bad guys, too. It's not like they're like, we kind of had to do this. They're saying, well, we had to do this, but just to justify what they did. So people are kind of leery of them because they're so powerful and they don't mind using their power. And suddenly these odd robots come up and they're killing all these scientists. Scientists like Ray Palmer.
The Atom.
So they have all these little cool name drops of people who have not turned into the iconic characters that we know. And it turns out that there's someone behind this whole thing, and because there always is, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there are some really cool inclusions of characters that maybe got paid less attention to. For instance, the Metal Men show up. Not all the Metal Men, but the Metal Men do show up. Now it's a different incarnation of the Metal Men. Basically, the Metal Men was the scientist who had created the Metal Men, and they're automatons, they're androids, but they're based on, there's one that's based on mercury, there's one that's based on tin, gold, platinum, et cetera, et cetera. There was a popular series back in the 60s, which I loved because I'm old. But so I loved seeing the Metal Men in this, which was very, very, very neat. But again, very different incarnations. So if you're old like me and you remember the Metal Men, this is a different version of the Metal Men because it's a different version of everything. But the interplay between all the characters is great. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, they still have a very similar relationship to each other. But, and it's not that Superman is evil, but he's much more driven and selfish than he was when he was Clark Kent. And so the whole thing follows that path. So they're trying to figure out, okay, who is framing us for this? Who's trying to eliminate us? And in the meantime, they occasionally have these wonderful fight scenes with these insane robots that which just disappear and reappear because they're using boom tubes to get around. And everybody knows that because Wonder Woman is from that, she actually has one built into her sword. They know she has that technology. So again, that's another way to frame this whole situation, to try to frame them to take the fall. And eventually they find out who's behind it. And there's another wonderful fight scene. And then you have the conclusion where they start talking about, and this is not a spoiler, but I almost said Clark, because he's not Clark. But Superman has a conversation with Batman saying, he's like, you know, man, I've been thinking maybe we should do things a little differently. Maybe we should, you know, just try to kind of stay more within the law or anything. So again, and that's almost always the theme of a Superman movie, is like his nature finally wins out at the end, where he realizes maybe we don't have to be quite so brutal. Maybe we can take things a different way. So it actually ends up with kind of a hopeful tone. And the reason I'm saying that is because some people might not watch it because they think, oh, this is going to be too dark. And it's plenty dark if you enjoy that. So don't worry about that.
I don't know that it's for kids, but...
Totally not for kids.
Yeah.
But your older kids, yeah. But it's... there's lots of murdery death. So if you like that kind of stuff, yay, you'll enjoy it. But if this is a really good alternate take, because a lot of times they don't work. But this was really well done. And again, it doesn't have the classic voices that we know and love, but
they're different characters, so it makes sense.
It does make sense. Benjamin Bratt plays Superman's voice, does a fantastic job. He's excellent. Really, really. It's a typical DC animated universe film, by which I mean it's really, really good. They're not all really, really good, like Red Sun.
Yeah.
But this, it's not like Flashpoint Paradox level. Okay, it's not at that point. Or The New Frontier, which are my two favorite movies. I know they're just phenomenal. But it's up there with any of the other best. Highly recommend Justice League Gods and Monsters. It's such a cool, different take on the storyline. There's lots of surprises. And like I said, there's some inclusions that are like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That's very cool. So highly recommend at least one of our DC Animated Universe movies.
Exactly. And another one is coming.
Yes.
May 5th. And just on the trailer, you know, it's one of those things. The trailer is all over the net right now. You can watch that just about anywhere. Which is weird because I'm sorry, you had a correction.
Yeah, the correction.
I forgot,
exactly.
I forgot.
The correction was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the fact that there are rumors going around that AT&T, which through the convoluted crap owns DC Comics, and they may sell DC off. And there's even rumors that it may wind up in the hands of Marvel, which would be really strange, which would kind of be awesome, because then we could have lots of crossover stuff. And I was saying that because they were saying, it's like, well, if the 5G doesn't work, you know, then we may have to sell it off. And it's like, that makes no sense. Why would 5G? And I'm thinking of 5G networks, because AT&T, right. 5G networks. No, it's because DC is relaunching and rebooting again.
Yep.
And it's being nicknamed 5G because it's fifth generation. And it's like,
is it really?
Why would you call it something by just this little short nickname, which everybody thinks of as a completely different field, especially when you're AT&T? Because if you're trying to, you know, you say, oh, 5G is coming. It's like, yeah, we know. We've been reading about it for a few years. It's like, yeah. It's like, I'm waiting for Verizon to switch over, or, you know, whatever. It's like, it's not trendy and cool. It's at least in my case, it's like, well, I'm not thinking of what you want me to think of. Because when you say 5G is coming, I'm not thinking that you're rebooting DC Comics at all.
I knew the reboot was coming. I had not heard it being called 5G.
So that makes perfect sense that if they're worried if 5G fails, yeah, and your comic sales don't go up. But that was the basis of the whole thing. It's like, well, if 5G doesn't work, the fact that people are using that in articles and not saying this is a reboot, they're just saying that because that's the article I read. Well, if AT&T is concerned that if 5G doesn't pan out, then they may have to sell the comics division. It's like, maybe you should have said maybe if the 5G reboot, or if the fifth generation reboot, et cetera, et cetera.
Or just giving it a whole new name.
Much like the new 52 or whatever. Oh my God. Anyway, so yes, it does make perfect sense that if the DC Comics division reboot does not work, then AT&T might want to sell it off. So it has nothing to do with the fact that they're worried that 5G won't work, because obviously 5G will go over. So
yeah.
And yeah, what a terrible name.
I had not heard that yet. I mean, I know about the reboot where they're just finally setting a timeline.
Yeah. Which I think Just stop with these freaking reboots, would you please? I mean, it's. I can see it like maybe once every decade or every other decade, but it's.
There've been in the past 10 years, and that's
this is, yeah. It's like, do you want people to be able to invest in these characters or not? Because they're not. So why on earth would you care about a character that's going to be completely different or somewhat different or maybe not even there in 2 or 3 years? That's asinine.
Well, I mean, they keep rebooting the Bat movies, so.
They do keep rebooting the Bat movies. Quite true. And the Spider-Man movies.
That too.
At least the Spider-Man movies got better after those, the amazing stumbles.
That is, yes.
Because yeesh.
You know, those, however, were in theaters, which is weird because all the movies we talked about this week, really, that yes. we've watched, available at home. So, ironically, I suppose, I'm about to end the show the way I always do by telling you to get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?